that. Can't wait to hear the music put to it. So keep working on that. That'll be good stuff. Let's all pray. Father, thank you for what we've just heard. One part that jumped out at me goes right along with what we're talking about, how our lives have been forged by the choices that we've made, whether those are good choices or bad choices. And Lord, today we're going to talk about how to how to get past some of those things in our past where we've made wrong choices. And God, I just pray that you would you'd speak to us through your word today, that what I say here today is not from me, but from you, and that, Lord, we would walk away from this place today understanding who we are in Jesus Christ, and we pray in his precious name. Amen. All of us, if we're really honest with ourselves, there's things that we've done. There are things that we have said that we wished we hadn't. And I think there are some people who deal with that every day of their lives. They struggle getting past some of those wrong choices that they've made. They struggle getting past their past. We might know that God has forgiven us, but we have a difficult time forgiving ourselves. And I don't know what it is for you, but there might be some of you here today who still feel this heaviness in your heart. You still have this heaviness in your life because of the choices that you've made, because of your past. Maybe you did some things in your life that at the time you were younger and they seemed fun at the time. They might have even seemed right, but years later, there's this baggage that you're carrying from the poor choices that you made that you just can't seem to get past. There's this weight. There's this guilt. And it might be affecting you even still today. For some of you, there's this recurring sin that you continue to do. You do this thing that might be in your life and you ask God to forgive you, and he does, and then you pray, God, I'll never do that again, help me to never do that again, and then a week or two later, maybe 3 weeks, and then you fall into that sin again, and you just feel like you're carrying that around with you all the time, whether it's your past or whether it's something going on now, you just can't seem to shake this thing that continues to gnaw at you, this thing that continues to come. Some of you, maybe you said something to someone that you loved, you didn't mean to. Just kind of bloop. Anybody ever done that? Just out there, you can't grab it back. Maybe at the time you meant to say it because you really felt that way, and because you said what you said, that relationship is now hurting with that other person. Maybe some of you have made some poor choices in the past and those things are catching up with you, or maybe they're starting to just come out now, or maybe you're afraid that they might come out and you regret it and you hate it and you don't know what to do with it. I know a lot of people that unfortunately have failed in some way, and then years later, even after all of the people in their life that they've hurt, maybe their spouse or their children or other family members, they've forgiven them, apologies have been made, and they've forgiven them, and even God's forgiven them, but they are having a hard time forgiving themselves, and there's this aching, there's this sense of total failure, can't seem to get over it. Some look at their kids. They said, man, if I'd only done a better job of being a parent, my kids might have turned out better. They might not have turned out this way. I think there's times in all of our lives where we feel like David in Psalm 38, verse 4. He said, my guilt has overwhelmed me. It's overwhelmed me like a burden that's too heavy to bear. Some people feel like this. Some people feel like this. I want to be involved in ministry, but because of the things that I've done in my past, there's no way that God can use me in ministry. I feel unworthy. After all I've done, how could I ever be used by God? How could I mentor young ladies? How could I mentor young men after what I've done? Or some might feel like this. I really want to have a good marriage, but after the things I've done, I don't know if I could ever do that or not. And what's happening is their past continues to follow them. It continues to gnaw at them. And here's what I hope you'll understand here today. And I want you to hear me clearly on this. This is something that I heard Wayne Smith, a beloved preacher of our brotherhood for years. This is something he used to say. I don't know if it's original with him or not, but I heard it several times from his lips. He said, every saint of God has a past and every sinner has a future. Isn't that good news? Every saint, every person that God has ever used, there's a past. And every sinner, no matter what sin you are in right now, you have a future. You look everywhere in the world and you see the people that God is using, or you look in Scripture and you see all of the people that God has used in Scripture, you understand none of them were perfect. Every single one of them had a past. And the power of God has helped them overcome the past, and God is able to use them in a mighty way for His purposes and for His will. Every single sinner, that includes you, that includes me, we have a future, amen? And by the power of God through Jesus Christ, we need to start living our lives like that. I believe that's what God wants to help you with today. I think that's what He has wanted to help you with in this entire series that we've been talking about, navigating past your past. There's an event in my life that I wish I could undo. My high school show choir was in New Orleans on a field trip. I was a freshman, 1984. We're staying at the Holodome in downtown New Orleans. Now, I don't know if you know what a Holodome is, but this, I don't know if this is the actual one or not. I actually looked up Holodome, New Orleans, and I found this picture, but this is kind of what they look like. All the rooms are kind of on the outside, you know, and then there's like gaming centers and a swimming pool and all that kind of stuff in the middle. So all the rooms are around all this stuff that's happening here. Well, in the lobby there, around where that pool table is and that circular-looking thing, probably somewhere in that area, somehow a water fight broke out. I don't know how it happened. For sure, I did not instigate it, but I was heavily involved. Someone had some squirt guns and started distributing the squirt guns, and we get into this massive squirt gun fight. We're running all around, up and down the floors and all this kind of stuff in this squirt gun fight. And then I realized that there's two friends of mine who are up on the top floor all the way down at the end of the hall, and they're... For some reason, their room did not get put on the same floor with the rest of us. And I'm thinking, they're missing out and they need to be involved in this squirt gun fight. So I go up to their floor and I walk down to their room, and their door was cracked about that much. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. And so I bust through the door. I roll around on the floor. I come up on one knee and I yell, freeze! And there's a man and woman sitting on the bed watching television. Now, I don't know who was more scared, me or them. And they screamed, and I screamed, and I took off running. The rest of the night, there's a security guard that is walking around looking for me. And I had my Dallas Cowboys jersey on, so I was going to be pretty easy to pick out. And so I'm hiding in rooms. I go up to the roof, actually. I'm hiding out on the roof. I'm scared to death. I'm 15 years old, and security is looking for me. To this day, I fear that someone's going to knock on my door and say, where were you on March 17th, 1984? You know, they're going to nail me one of these days, you know. But in all seriousness, I wish I could tell you that's the worst thing that I've ever done. It's not even close. That was just a kid and some horseplay and security guard. You know, if he had found me, he would have said, "Now, come on, knock it off," you know. But I didn't know that at the time. I was scared to death. But the truth is this. I've had many failures. And you probably have too. And there are far too many people that are living in their past. You're living your life gripped by maybe this one failure or these multiple failures, maybe a series of failures. And if we're really honest with ourselves, there's probably a lot of Uncle Ricos in the room. Now, some of you might not know what I'm talking about, but if you've ever seen Napoleon Dynamite, anybody seen Napoleon Dynamite? Okay, three of us, that's great. You know what I'm talking about. Still living in 1982, you know, he's this character in Napoleon Dynamite where he's like, man, if the coach would have just put me in back in 1982, we'd have won the state championship. I'd have been a hero, all this kind of stuff. And a lot of us are kind of living our lives that way. Man, if I could just go back to 1982 or 75 or whatever the year might be, if I could just go back and do it all over again, then I wouldn't have this failure in my life. And so here is what you need to understand about failure in your life. And the first thing is this: your biggest sin, your biggest failure is not too big for God's grace. Write that down if you're taking notes. Your biggest sins are not and have never been too big or too great for God's grace. I've been a Christian for about 36 years now. And one of the things that I have been profoundly aware of is that there are a lot of people who are consumed by guilt. I talk with people in my office that just cannot get past. They're just eaten with guilt. And I don't believe that the Bible teaches that guilt is from God. We have a very real spiritual enemy who would love nothing more than for us to just live our lives, the rest of our lives out, consumed by this guilt, just treading water in this ocean of guilt, because guilt paralyzes our action, and we start to think things like, well, I'm never going to conquer this. I'm never going to go get over this thing that's in my life, so why do I even try? And then guilt also breeds self-hatred. We start beating ourselves up, and we even begin to hate ourselves because of what we have done or we continue to do. And the more we stew in it, the more we loathe ourselves. But the Bible talks about this other thing that's called conviction. And there's a difference between guilt and conviction. Conviction is of the Holy Spirit, and guilt is from Satan. And the conviction of the Holy Spirit is one of the most beautiful things, because what it does is it produces change in our lives. And the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, we've got this incredibly conditional and powerful verse that John writes for us, and I appreciate John alluding to some of that in his communion meditation from 1 John. But here's another thing: if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, then what does God do? See, he's faithful, right? He's going to continue to do it. It's not like, you know, God is saying, if we confess our sins, sometimes I might forgive you. He's saying, if we confess our sins, he is faithful, meaning he's always going to do it. He's faithful and he's just. What's he going to do? Let's all say this together, that last word, okay? He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. He's going to wipe us clean. I don't know, but that might be one of the most powerful verses in all of Scripture, that he's going to wipe us clean of the failures, of the sins that's in our lives. I'm going to have John put a picture on the screen here. Anybody remember these things? Anybody ever have one of these things? Anybody good at these things? Okay, like everybody's like, raise your hand. Yeah, I had one. I know what it is. Yeah. And I say, when you're good at it, there's like two of you that's like, yeah, man, I was all over that. I was terrible at those things. It's an Etch-a-Sketch. We all know that, you know, the beautiful Etch-a-Sketch. This was an iPad in the 70s, right? I mean, this is pretty much what it was to us. And I was so bad at it. But if you have this Etch-a-Sketch, check it out. Here's what you do. You go through this process of making stuff by turning these knobs, and mine always went the wrong direction. Anybody with me on that? You know, where I thought I was going, and it always went the wrong direction. And about the only thing that I could possibly do was make a box. That's about it. And so I see some of these pictures that people make, and it's absolutely incredible. And so you do this thing, you start turning these knobs, and you get these, and you get about, you know, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 turns into it, and then you're like, that's not going where I want it to go. And what do you get to do, right? What do? You shake it up, right? And it erases, and you get to start all over. You've got a clean slate. Now, thankfully, God doesn't shake us up a little bit to clean up. Well, sometimes he does, actually. You know? Sometimes he does. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens, right? But that's what God does for us. He gets rid of the mistakes, the hurt, the resentment, the bitterness, the feelings of being betrayed. Maybe those are some of the things that are on your Etch-a-Sketch. Maybe it's a liar. Maybe it's a promiscuous life. Maybe someone in here is incredibly envious of someone else and what they have and all their stuff. And the Bible says this: God is faithful and just, and he will forgive our sins. But he doesn't just stop there. Listen to this in Jeremiah 31:34. I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. I wish we had the power to do that, don't you? You know, in fact, that kind of makes me laugh when people say, well, you just need to forgive and forget and blah, blah, blah. You can't. You can forgive. But there are some things in our lives that we have done or people have done to us that we are just humanly impossible to, for us to forgive. But for God, he has forgotten them. He will remember our sins no more. The all-powerful, ever-present God makes a choice of his will to limit his memory forever. I will remember their sins no more. And if we want to get past our past, and I pray that you do, you want to get past your failures, we have to recognize that there's no sin that you will have ever committed in your life that's too big for God's grace. Now, here's the second thought. You are not what you've done. You are who God says you are. You are not what you have done. You are who God says you are. What you have done does not define you. Your identity isn't in what you do, whether that's good or bad, right? You are the product of what God says you are. You are the product of what God has breathed into your life. That's what defines you, not the things that we do. And here's what Satan does to us. He tries to personalize our sin, doesn't he? He tries to get us in a mindset where the things that we've done are what we perceive ourselves to be. So when people have committed adultery, they don't say, I've committed adultery. We say, well, I'm an adulterer. That's who I am. You don't say that someone took something and, that you just took something from somebody. You put a spin on it, and we label ourselves a thief. And here's what we need to understand. Sin is not a person. Sin is the event. Okay? Sin is the thing that we do. It's not who we are. And the Bible, let me just say this, and I pray that there are those of you who are here today that if you're in the chains of your past and you're chained to your mistakes, I pray today that through his word and through the power of the Holy Spirit, that you will recognize how God sees you today. That he doesn't see you as that failure. And he doesn't see you as that mistake. I pray that you understand that today. Here's what 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us. Paul writes this to the church at Corinth. Therefore, If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Anyone, that includes you, that includes me, that includes anyone who's ever walked the face of this earth. If you are in Christ Jesus, you are a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. But let's back up a little bit. Let's talk about the other side of that. The bad news is this. Let's just imagine you don't know Jesus. You don't know if he even knows you. You're just kind of kicking the tires on God's love for your life. You're kind of kicking the tires on faith today. But you're pretty confident you're not a follower of Jesus Christ. The bad news for you is that you are defined by your sin. Because here's what happens. Outside of the cross, we have nothing to hope for. We are literally, the Bible says, a prisoner to sin. And the Bible says that that is who you are if you are outside of Christ. And today, if you're sitting out there and you are outside of Christ, maybe God is speaking to you. Maybe your heart's starting to race a little bit and you know that you haven't been in a relationship with God. And as you put your faith in Jesus Christ for the first time and you're baptized into Him, the Bible says anyone who does that, anyone who confesses Jesus as the Christ and repents of their sins and is baptized into Him, the old life is gone and behold, the new has come. The things that you do don't define you. You're a child of God. And if you are in Christ, listen to what the Bible says you are, or who the Bible says you are. You have been adopted by God Himself into His family. I love that verse. He's our Father. The Bible says that we are blessed when we come in and blessed when we go out. The Bible says that we are an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, by the words of our story or the words of our testimony. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says we're free from the chains of sin and the consequences of our sin. The Bible says that the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the grave lives in us and gives us the ability to overcome and be victorious in our lives. And that's true about me, and that's true about you, that's true for anyone who is in Jesus Christ. That's who we are. You're an overcomer, you're free in Christ. Now here's the third thing that I pray that you'll write down, you'll internalize this. You cannot change your past. But you can change your future through Jesus. You cannot change your past, but Christ can change your future. I don't know, something maybe's happened in your past. It's beyond words. It wasn't even something that you did. Maybe it was something that happened to you. Man, I wish I could change that for you. Maybe you had a failed marriage. Maybe your only dream in life was to have a good marriage and you're in agony because it failed. I ache for you. I do. I hate that for you. But you can't change it. You were young. You did something you shouldn't have done. You regret it all the time, but you can't go back and redo it. You can't change the past. You said something you shouldn't have said. You can't change it. But I'm telling you, moving forward, the power of Christ can be with you and help you to understand that that's been forgiven and you're not accountable for that anymore. Never forget that every single saint, every one of you sitting in this room, I don't know what it is. You know it and God knows it, but every single saint has a past. Every sinner has a future through the power of the risen Christ. And I heard it put this way. whenever the enemy, whenever Satan tries to remind you of that past, just remind him of his future. No. You just tell him, you know what, Satan, you're nothing. You're absolutely nothing. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world, meaning Satan. I can't change what's happened. It's gone. It's over. But I'm telling you, we serve a God with whom all things are possible. And he's working in all things, even the bad things, to bring about good for his glory, right? For those who are called according to his purpose. I love the way Paul said this to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Not that I have already obtained this. Okay, so Paul's saying, I've not arrived yet. Okay? I don't have it all figured out. Not that I've reached it. Not that I've obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on. I keep going. I don't give up. I don't live in the past. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. And I think it's kind of ironic because he says, but one thing I do, and then he lists two things that he does, but I don't know. That's just me. Forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And everybody say it with me. Forgetting the past, say that. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Looking forward to what lies ahead. Do that one more time. Forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. Every single saint has a past. Don't look there. You don't live there anymore. God has forgiven you. And you have a future in heaven with Jesus Christ where all of these things that have happened down here in this life, all of these things are just going to pale in comparison to what we're going to experience when we get to heaven. Forget what is behind. Here's what the Greek word means, forgetting what is in the past. It means to treat with thoughtless inattention. It means to willfully neglect. It means to leave behind intentionally. It means to banish from one's thoughts. It means to disregard on purpose. In other words, it means to cease to remember to the best of your ability. Don't dwell on it. And there's some of you maybe that are here today, the spiritual enemy has been haunting you for years about your past. Treat it with thoughtless inattention. Willfully neglect the label that Satan is trying to stick on you. Don't believe the lies of the evil one. Because there's no sin you've ever committed that's too big for God's grace. And even though you cannot change your past, Jesus Christ can change your future. And he will. And I want to tell you again that the Bible teaches that anyone who is in Christ is brand new. A new person. And we believe that that happens by confessing that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You repent of the sin that's in your life. In other words, you turn away from that sin. And you're baptized into him and you are raised to new life, and you start living your life as a new creation, as a child of the living God. Would you stand with me and would you pray?